at least a minute past my usual. And we have, let's see, we have the full committee, we have youth and governance, we are missing Peter. Otherwise, we're all in attendance. So, then I would ask for approval of the minutes of the previous meeting.
Motion to approve.
And that is our March 3rd meeting. Move to approve, any discussion? Is there a second? Move to second to approve the minutes of the March 3rd meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and governance?
Aye.
Thank you. Chairman, committee members, supervisors.
I have a couple things. One actually is, this is our, as a committee here, this is our last meeting. And I want to thank everyone for being involved and for all the involvement of the committee, the youth and governance. And we've had some turnover and change in our staff, and we're grateful for all the input from the golf people, highways, the parks, facilities. And so a couple of people that have left us and retired, and now we're going to bring Chris in. And we're looking forward to the new season. And again, I want to thank this committee. We haven't had a whole lot of controversial things, but we have had, you know, some major things as far as facilities and the parks, and the input from everyone has been wonderful. We've had some very good discussions. We naturally, ever when you have 23 people on a county board, you're never going to always agree, but that's why I enjoy this. And we usually work out to the best solution that we can come to for the community and for the taxpayers. So again, thank you very much. I really appreciate this, and still enjoy it. One other item, and this has been involved in a lot of our discussion, that I want to bring to this committee's attention, and it'll be the next committee that will deal with this. Anytime you accept grant money, there's naturally strings attached. There's always provisions that we have to abide by. And I know I've been reporting on some private donations that are going to be coming into the developing Katy Park, and that was involving our parking lots there. And that was one of the discussions we had this year involving parking and non-parking and parking lots. When you accept that money, specifically the stewardship grants, there are provisions and strings, as people like to call them, attached. One of those is that when we move any ground out there, we have to follow certain guidelines. The big one is that if we start cutting in roads and paving and excavating, that these things have to be paved. We have no money in a budget for this year for that type of work. And the work that a private firm through volunteering would do for us would not cover that type of work. We have budgeted what that would cost and put costs together for paving of those areas. You're going to be seeing that tonight in the form of an application from Mr. Rudy for a stewardship grant, again, to cover improvement costs at the Katy Park. The way the season goes for those grants puts us into next fall for getting approval. But what will happen this year is not what we were anticipating. What we were anticipating was us being able to do this excavating, getting the two parking lots and the roadway in. We aren't going to be able to do that because our work would not be covered under our provisions with the stewardship grant. We have to pave anything that we do out there, and we don't have the funds available until this new grant season comes in, which would be next fall. So we're actually actually looking at a 2015 season for getting that work done. This year, we would have any work that we did there would be not under the guidelines that we accepted grant money to purchase that land. Want to inform this committee, because everyone's been involved in it, that we're actually looking at another season, and that's the grant season. I think, John, did I get that all right?
John?
Did I get that pretty right as far as the guidelines?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I believe that's all I have this evening. At this time, any supervisors' comments or questions? Anything from any supervisors? Youth and governance? All right, we'll move on to citizens' comments. If there were any citizens present, they would be able to speak for 5 minutes on any item before this committee or pertaining to anything that this committee oversees. The citizens' comments are closed. New business golf director's report.
Well, I just want to say thank you if anybody moves on from this committee for all your support for the golf division recently. It sure has helped. Currently, we are following our business plan. We have been very successful signing up all of our past leagues. Every league re-signed for this year. We didn't lose any, so that was great. We are still looking for some leagues at Brightdale fill in and both facilities, especially morning leagues. So we'll see if we're successful doing that. Also, all of our outings have pretty much re-signed, all the ones that you know that we've contacted, and so you know, all positive movement there. So that's going well. The Milwaukee Golf Show was just phenomenal. I mean, it was unbelievable. We went up there with 3,800 coupons, thinking that would be enough, because last year we gave out about 3,000. I had to come back here Saturday afternoon and print another 2,000, and we ended up giving out 5,800 coupons at the Milwaukee Golf Show. So, I mean, I was thrilled with all the outing inquiries, all of the membership inquiries, season pass inquiries. So a lot of positive momentum, a lot of positive feedback there. It was absolutely phenomenal to hear everybody's comments of the golf courses. Oh, I love that place. Oh, that's my favorite course. You know, so it was that the Milwaukee Golf Show was great. Currently, we open the golf courses. On Friday, we open the clubhouses. On Wednesday the 2nd, we sold about 68 passes so far this year, which is great. Currently, we're working on completing the irrigation on holes number 2 and 3 on the White Birch. Tom Emmerich did our bid specs, and Midwest Irrigation won the bid, so we will be proceeding shortly to do that. We're working on the paving. There's a little bit of concern, getting the golfers from 16 to 17 going over the hill road at Petrifying Springs. So we're working with the highway department just to make sure that we always have access there to cross the road the people can continue. At Petrifying Springs currently, there's only the front nine open due to, the winter. Everybody that I've talked to, all of the season pass holders and the maintenance crew, said that the golf course came through very well, that they're very pleased with the conditions. Brightdale, I've talked to quite a few people, both guests and season pass holders and employees that have walked the golf course and played the golf course already, and they all say that it came through really well, no winter kill, it's actually dry out there. So we're going to be cutting first time this week. We're going to open up the Red Pines on Saturday. We have a tournament, the Big Cup Rust Buster is Saturday, a nine-hole with 8-inch cups, trying something new out there for that. And then, so we'll have 27 holes open by Saturday, and then the White Birch we're opening on April 19th. So we'll have 45 open by April 19th. And then we purchased 65 new golf cars. We're trading in 57, that deal we just completed. We also have four new beverage carts, and we've got our mowing equipment and our utility vehicles that were budgeted delivered already, and so we're getting those up and running. So that's what we have going in golf.
A question for you. When you do this big cup thing, I know your normal tool is for your normal cups. You have one for that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then, what do you do? Because usually when your guys come and switch cups, you do this, you do that, you put the plug in, what do you save those plugs off in the shop somewhere?
Yep. Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to keep the plugs for, it's just going to be for this weekend.
Right.
Once we warm up, we're thinking about trying to do it for family golf and maybe do it more often. We'll see how the response is to this one and get feedback from our guests and see if that's a good idea. But if we do that in the future, we might have two different cups on the green, one regular one. If the father or somebody wants to play regulation golf, and then if the kids or family wants to play to the big cup, you know, they can play to that cup too. So, we have that nursery out there that we can always get material back, you know, sod right. back if we need to cover up those big cups.
But yeah, when golf courses have done that, I've thought or wondered how much sinkage they get if they don't have a spot to save all these plugs, because that's a big area, big spot. Then another question, and Chris mentioned this to me a little bit earlier, whether you or Chris would like to tell the committee about these RFPs for the food service out there while we're still under golf.
If you don't mind, I will do that. Right now, we really only had two respondents for this. One respondent was the same respondent that we rejected last year just due to the size and their experience. And the other respondent, they based their financial how they're financially were able to gain money from us off of how much they spent. So the more that they spent, the more that they would get paid. And we just felt that was way too risky of a situation. I mean, they could have seven employees behind the counter serving food and beverage, run up that labor costs, and then they would be getting more money, getting paid as a management company more because their costs were going up. So that was the financial structure of their proposal, and we didn't feel that was a very good. So we're not very excited about the two proposals that we got. We went above and beyond, and we did, you know, try to recruit other people to respond to the RFP. Carol actually sent out more invitations to that RFP than she normally does, and we were disappointed again with only two respondents. And so at this time, it's not looking real promising.
Right. So yeah, to just get to it, I know I'm gonna have to report to the executive committee, you know, on that, because that's where a lot of this came from. It's very surprising, but it's 2 years in a row here we've tried it. So I just wanted the committee to hear all that. Thanks, Dan. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Two questions. Hey, Dan, do you have a feel for why we only had two respondents? Do you have any?
You know, we simplified the RFP the respondent form. We did pretty much everything. I just feel that, you know, we do 500,000, half a million, you know, and in business, and I don't know, you know, how much somebody would actually, you know, make off of that, you know, to do both facilities and to try and pay us back a rent. I mean, if you're going to pay even 10%, that's 50 grand, you know, that wouldn't make us happy as a facility, because I think that, you know, we make more in other areas than that. And I just feel that it wasn't a big enough operation, you know, until they grew it or we grew it, you know, for people to respond to it. I just don't think it was financially
And then the other question, you stated here that the clubhouse is going to be open at 8 a.m. till dusk. Is that year-round, or is that for a period of time, and then it'll go a little earlier?
Just because of the weather. Because of all the frost delays and everything else, yeah. We will, as it gets light earlier and as the temperatures climb, we will definitely open. It'll be 5:30 at Pet Frank Springs again, okay. 6 o'clock at Brightondale, in the peak season.
Thank you.
Anything else? We'll move on to facilities, right?
Actually, we've got two reports. I've got one. Mike Schmanty is going to get here, but Chris has his report. The great news about the tower was we really got everything together for the infrastructure, and then it turned out that both the Kenosha Fire Department and the Sheriff's Department, the procedure, the hoops they had to jump through to move their frequencies from the old tower to the new tower, even though it was a quarter mile down the road, turned out to be a lot bigger than they ever thought. It might as well have moved the tower 10 miles. They had to go through all this, and then the FCC was asking them questions about the original tower and some inaccuracies that went back probably 40, 50 years to the old tower. So the good news is on the infrastructure side, we're good. They just need to work through all of the hoops with the FCC.
So Frank, is this why, it was a shock to me as a chairman of this committee, and I've been reporting to the county board for 2 years about this and talking about March. To read in the paper then that we're looking at May, and that was from, I can't remember who was quoted, it certainly wasn't you. It was somebody from
Marty Laycock.
Right. Okay, so it's a good thing that he wasn't in front of me that day when I read that in the paper. What was new to our staff? You said the Sheriff's Department and the Fire Department. I am going to shoot some pretty good darts at the next county board meeting about this. What was new that this was a big surprise? They found out what? Did they just decide to apply for these goddamn things?
No. From what I understand, the frequency side is it was a new area to me. We actually had a meeting scheduled last month. We brought the whole committee together, the Joint Communications Committee, to lay out, we had the infrastructure done and we're going to go through this. And literally, a day or 2 days beforehand, I got an email about that there was an issue with the frequencies. And when in all, the frequency side was always the way Ray had set it up, was that was all their side of it, and ours was the infrastructure side. So it was only a day or two beforehand, this meeting, that I got an email about the Kenosha Fire Department did have some issues earlier on when they were putting it through. They were handling it themselves. They reached out to a consultant that Ray had hired to help them with that. They thought between the two that it was, quote, taken care of. But as I learned, there's intermediate steps. You submit it to one agency or one company for them to put it through the paces, and then from there it gets submitted to the FCC to get done. And from what I understood, and I can't speak directly for the police or for the sheriff or for the sheriff or for the fire department, but it was little inaccuracies from the original tower that was there 50 years ago, such as the exact longitude and latitude, that flagged the FCC that they had to go back and check the original information, or then that stopped them from being able to move the frequencies to the new tower. So, yeah, that was, at least to me, a real surprise. And
so you think, because, so the average person reading that article that morning, they blamed it on the weather or something. I knew better. Everybody in this room knew better, because we've been told it's ready for March 31st, and now we're looking at May. Do you think
everyone started their work on time here? It sounds to me that they didn't.
We're in the meeting and we're stepping through the process, because at that point, then I was like, okay, where is this in the... I needed to know where in the process they were.
Right.
So that we could you know, try to recalibrate or reschedule. And that's when I was told, literally between the fire department and the sheriff's department, that they had gone through, they had started the whole process and had gone through this other company that vets everything and things like that, and that's where they ran into problems. And then from that point, it was still with the FCC, it was like 6 weeks out. So, I mean, early on, I knew that they were working on this. I knew that they were doing this. They were doing the frequency side. But the licenses were under the fire department, the sheriff's department.
Right.
They had to do all these changes.
Right. How long ago did they start working on it?
From the discussion, it didn't sound like they just started the week before we started, because there was actually at least a month and a half before is when they both were working on it. They both were working on it because the fire department ran into some issues with where the tower was located. The latitude and longitude of the tower is very important. But I guess 50 years ago when they did it, they did the latitude and longitude off of the actual mailbox at the highway department for the KPD, which didn't match what the sheriff had. So they were working through that at least 2 months ago.
But see, that's not soon enough for me, since we've been working on this for as long as we've been working on it. 2 months ago, my ass, I hope the tape's running. That's not soon enough for us to hear this. And I've been reporting to the county board all these months that this was going to be in March. And it's not you, Frank. This is a discussion for the board here. I'm talking about these other birds that should have been on this. Especially the city that held this goddamn thing up as long as they did. So I don't know if I was the only one noticed when you read that article this morning, or that morning, that this was off, and I was quite surprised. But I just wanted to hear from you, because to me, and this will be the nicest I say it, will be at this committee meeting. And it certainly wasn't your staff, Frank. I know that you guys have been diligent about this, but to read that we're 2 months off because people just started working on this 2 months ago, that's not going to fly. No.
And don't quote, that's the first time I heard of...
Oh, I realize that.
Heard of some issues with it.
Right.
And that, you know, and unfortunately, you know, the project was, we did the infrastructure.
Right.
And originally was, we put it all up and then they would transfer all the radios and stuff.
Right.
So, but, you know, to get this going, we said, okay, you know what? And then we even worked on the logistics. Our side, unfortunately, wasn't part of the frequencies, nor could have been because it was in their name. I can't tell you exactly when they started working on it. But yeah, it was a shock to me.
I sure was.
In that meeting, and we had everybody in the meeting. The purpose of the meeting was actually to step people through the migration plan.
Yeah. Were they embarrassed at all?
Yeah, there was, and then, you know, they were... Yeah, there was, and I think... You know, they reached out for some help from, you know, a consultant, and then I don't know if it's because we haven't moved a tower in 50 years or,
right.
or what it is, literally all the different hoops. And at the time, I was just trying to get a handle on, okay, well, if we don't do it now, when can we do it? And then I've got to hold this guy's schedule that can do all this stuff, because
yeah.
he's got a lot of towers going up. So I'm like, all right, when do you think you're going to be through with this? At the time, they were saying it looked like a six-week process. So we actually scheduled, I said, all right, let's schedule a meeting for 3 weeks so that you can update us all on where you are in this process, because we're trying to hold this guy in a slot to keep the guy that's physically going to move everything and then tune all the frequencies. So we actually have a meeting on Wednesday for them to tell us the status of the frequencies. And then we're supposed to have another meeting, you know, 2 weeks out from that, so that we know where this is planning. But yeah, it was just literally a couple of days before the meeting, we started to get some emails that there was some issues. I had no idea it was that big.
No, that article covered everybody's ass real well, because the average person wouldn't know that this was a, to me it was a major screw-up, that these people weren't ready. If you're a private company and screwed up by 2 months, you'd be broke. And we're trying to hold this guy up, the tower people and people doing the installation. I mean, you couldn't survive having this big a screw up. It's and the average taxpayer is never going to know. But actually, we all did. I hope we all knew that it was. Again, none of this is directed at you.
No, no.
Because
no.
I know that you got.
Trust me.
Your job got done.
So. Trust me. I was a little frustrated and really shocked when we got to that meeting. But unfortunately, it, like I said, the best thing, like talking to everybody, it was like since it had been 50 years since they moved any frequencies, they had no idea of the complexity or the issues where there were some minor discrepancies with the old tower that would keep them moving to the new tower.
Right.
Unfortunately, I don't think it was one singular thing.
No, and fortunately, public safety isn't going to be affected. So it's all going to work out. But and it won't be a big embarrassment, because apparently no one noticed. But to me, it was an embarrassment that didn't do that.
I mean, it's not, we're all Kenosha County, so it really doesn't. But the only good news is we did get all the infrastructure in time.
Right.
We got the building, we got the generator, we got the fence, we got the fiber, we got everything we could have.
Now, is there anybody still jacking around here? Is there a chance we're not going to be made?
Not, that's what they brought up in front of everybody in the meeting. But again, that's why I asked, and everybody agreed to having this meeting here next week, for them to tell us what the status is. So I can give you a call after the meeting and give you an update.
Who puts the hammer on these people? Who would?
Ultimately, with the fire and the police department, it's the captains of their own side. I let the county executive know right away.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When you say we call this meeting, I mean, who calls it? Who runs the meeting?
Oh, actually, the Joint Services. It's the Joint Communications Committee under the Joint Services.
Under Joint Services.
Under Joint Services.
Were they surprised?
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
Was it? I'm just going on and on in here. Was anybody else surprised when they read this?
Yeah. I mean, I would expect it to go happen by March 31st when the structure was done.
We actually had a change. We actually had a schedule last week.
How long has this been delayed? Over a year, right?
Yeah, we're kind of used to delays.
It didn't surprise me the way this project's been going.
So anyway, Frank.
Another federal agency.
Well, no, but this is all local people.
Well, but FCC has gotten involved now.
You know. No, FCC is involved because our fire and police and our own sheriff's department didn't do their goddamn work.
Would that be Frank Pacetti?
Well, let me explain. From what I understand, they had to go through the FCC.
You have to.
They had to for this change.
You do? Yeah. But what the hell? We're not kindergartners here.
Could have started 6 months ago.
They should have known that. Christ's sake. If I had a foreman that didn't know he had to order two pallets of brick and I had four guys sitting there waiting for the lay of the brick, this isn't really complicated. We've been talking about this for a long time.
I agree with you. I can't say I know all the ins and outs of it.
I know.
You know, it's nobody asked me for a certificate of when we topped off the tower, things like that,
right.
You know, for them, for their stuff. I don't know if they needed to wait to that point, but nobody asked me for anything like that. So, you know, I don't know what the actual, you know, procedure or hoops, or like I said, they ran into something with the longitude and latitude of the old tower when they submitted it, the paperwork that the old tower was off. And,
so it was Joint Services that was actually in charge of all of it?
No. Each department is, the fire department is responsible for their frequencies. They're responsible, they manage.
No, I understand that.
Correct.
But the actual construction, we say we're going to build a new tower. So who is in charge of telling the Kenosha Fire Department, any construction project I've ever been involved in that had any size, there's a, and you do it all the time when we do ours, there's a timetable. Right? So we must have had something like that where who was in charge initially? Is it us?
No, we provided the timetable, and originally we were pushing hard for the end of February.
Right.
And so really that's, they really, and we weren't able to get it all together by the end of February, but I kind of set that date kind of for this reason, to get people focused on it.
But doesn't somebody do a calendar that says, okay, Joe, you need your stuff here, you need your stuff here, you need your stuff, like any other construction project?
We had it all for the infrastructure side. I don't think anybody foresaw all of the, and the frequency side, all of the.
So there was none of that? There was never?
For the frequency side?
Nobody was in?
It was the case, Kenosha Fire Department and the Sheriff's Department, they had it.
All right, I've gone on long enough about this. Any questions for Frank? No, we got to keep going with you on the HVAC.
Yeah, we've got some good news. We were able to cut over three more of the rooftop units of digital control. Now the weather broke, and we're trying to get the rest of them this month. So that'll be some good news. It's been a rough winter. The guys are still, you know, like I said, chipping away at themselves with maintenance personnel, and they've got 22 BAB boxes now. They were able to get four done last month. So, any questions on that side? The Yule House, Carol O'Neill, actually, I talked to her. She had surgery, so she wasn't able to make it. She's recovering well, thankfully. But they had two more people in the last month go through the house, look at it, and they had one person that previously went through come back and ask for some more information, actually, about the roof and things like that. So that was what she had to report. KCAB restoration project. Good news on that project. We started right on time, right on March 31st with mobilization. We got everything, the contract and everything worked out. The grinding of the old mortar that are going to begin on the north and the west sides of the building this week. And the work is all scheduled to be wrapped up by October 30th. Any questions?
No, I think you're good. Thank you, Frank.
On behalf of Mike Schmidt, who we got on board, and he's going to do his first report and go on vacation. So, I'd like to reiterate, great to work with you guys. Been 2 months, I guess, and now I get all scrambled up. But all right, Brookside Care Center. What we decided to do on his reports is kind of really do the big, big things over like $20,000. I think we kind of picked, or something that would be interest of to you guys. So I'm sure you guys don't want to know about all, you know, rewiring a socket or something like that, or changing all the clocks or something. So these are kind of the big items that are on our radar screen. We've done a database of projects. We have 38 that we've got going. So we are trying to prioritize and work through things, and I guess we've never really had this kind of comprehensive list, at least for quite a while. So these are the important ones. Brookside Care Center, there's a sprinkler system there. It was previously a dry system, so the pipes never had any problems leaking, but now it's going to be a wet system, which means there's going to be water in the lines all the time due to new regulations. And when you when that happens, the pipes are kind of leaking, being there for so long. So these are replacing the pipes in the hallways so that they don't leak and we don't ruin stuff and get up to code. Speaking of that, we had then the inspection found that the lights, LED, the fluorescent fixtures that are in the hallways have gaps between them, and they are not smoke proof, so that if there was a fire that it allows it to spread. So we actually have to replace all those lights in there. And while we're going to do that, we're going to go ahead and replace them with LED and make it a little more efficient. So they're doing specs on that and making sure that everything's going to comply and we get the rebates and that kind of stuff. On to the public safety building. Sewer pipe replacement. This is that kind of the cells in between the cells. And that's just kind of what it sounds like. The pipes are leaking and could be problems with drains where everything goes to, and it's got to go through a little hallway is what I'm told to get to these sewer pipes. So replacing all the cast iron with PVC. So hopefully, of course, jails are one of the worst places to have sewers. Maintenance on a sewer system in a jail is awful because they... all sorts of things end up in the sewer system. Pillowcases, sheets, and all sorts of stuff. It's not good. One of the items that we have before us today as in the form of a resolution for a sole source is behind the public safety building, there is a lot that right now is reserved for people that go to the public, employees of the public safety building. It says needed permit needed. However, it kind of turns out the general public decides they don't need a permit, so they parking in there. So we are going to be putting in a gate system, just like the gate system that's at the parking garage and to the next part, or the you get in on the back side that's for employees only. There's two entrances right now, neither of which are very long enough to get a gate system in there. Rather than putting two gate systems, what we're going to do is actually put a new entrance off 10th Street and put the gate over there, reconfigure some of the interior lots. So since we already have a gate system for the parking garage and the parking lot next to the parking garage, we are asking for a sole source to put that same exact system over here.
Is that
we
only 10th have, Avenue?
Yeah.
Huh? 10th Avenue.
On 10th Avenue. Yeah.
Street.
I can. We can bring you some pictures or something. But it's, we drew up some plan. I did some plans on a GIS system, so it's not AutoCAD or anything. It's not pretty, but it gets the point across. But same software, same gate, same mechanics. So there's only one kind of stuff that we have to deal with. So, and it turns out no one else really kind of makes that one gate. Other than just or distributes this one gate in the area that they can. So that's the public safety building. At the courthouse, at the very front entrance, there are two roof drains that go down across the front entrance. They got concreted in at some point and do not drain and causes water to go into the foyer in the front and causes problems. So we're going to have to kind of tear that all out, repair the roof. It's a fairly big deal. There's a fire alarm system in there that was replaced 15, 18 years ago or so, and has kind of worn out. It's kind of worked sporadically since it's been put in. The fire alarms will still go off if there's actually a fire. However, it'll tell us there's lights that kind of come on and say there's a fire when there's not. They come back, people try to troubleshoot it, can't troubleshoot it, maybe problems with the wiring, we're not sure. So we had gotten a quote for a new fire alarm panel, but it may be more than just the fire alarm panel. It may be some of the equipment, some of the wiring and that kind of stuff. So we're going back and kind of making a larger project out of this to have not just replace the panel, but have somebody replace all of it so that they don't have to say, your electrician did the wiring, it's your problem, and it's just our panel, so we don't have fingers pointing. So we're going to be doing a big project with that. And then similar to the KCDC boxes, they are replacing boxes as we can get to them with maintenance staff countywide. And we have 20 out of 42 was KCDC. Right now they're gathering building counts for all the buildings. They've been doing them as they can, but what Mike is in the process of doing is reassessing the project and seeing exactly what's been done, what's not been done, what still needs to be done. So those are the major things that facilities maintenance is working on. If there's any questions, I'll field them.
Great.
Yeah, on Brookside, you've got the hallway can light replacement for the 700 wing and hub. Now, my understanding, you have four wings on one side and three on the other. That would be like the 700 would be just one of the halls, I'm assuming, right? The 700 hall?
Yes, the 700 wing.
What's the plan for doing the other six halls?
At this point, they're trying to do, I think, a little at a time.
Pardon me?
They're doing a little bit at a time. I think it's a pretty big project. I think they're ducking about 230 some odd lights just for this 700 wing and hub. So they're probably going to be more to it in the future. But this is what they have. I think in the Brookside, it's actually coming out of Brookside's budget. So this is what they have in their budget that we can get done.
We approved the financials for all the LED lights over there, $50,000 or something.
This is 700 wing and the hub that's $50,000
for one wing.
For just one wing and hub, because all the lights and the maintenance, our maintenance guys got to do them, and you're talking about a couple of hour or two per light. So you're talking 400 hours.
Wow.
Maintenance at least.
So the $50,000 was just to replace the lights in one wing. I thought we were going to do the whole building with that.
I'm not sure of the Brookside's budget for that. My understanding is there's 200 some odd lights to begin with. Oh. Part of this project.
Wow. Get back to me on that, would you?
Okay.
Because I thought we were going to do the whole building. I too. $50,000.
Yes. Any other questions? If that?
The repair of the roof drains, who cemented it in? If it was a contractor that did that, we just had to repair the courthouse. Can we track back and maybe get him to do some of that work?
I don't know. Do you have any other information about who did it?
We discovered it. We discovered it. Actually, we discovered it 2 years ago, and they sent down a camera and found that one of them's partially blocked and the other one's totally blocked, and partially blocked one does drain, but they tried to go back and figure out who was up there with any kind of mortar or cement, and they went back 8 years and they couldn't find during that period, 6 or 8 years, they couldn't find a contractor who had been up there with mortar or cement, so it had to happen before that.
Well, what about the fact we just had a bunch of remortaring done?
No,
that firm.
We discovered it right before that. That was right during the KCAB restoration.
before they had any mortar up there?
Before they had mortar in that section, yes. We had, it only happens if they get hard driving south rain that makes it over this entrance behind the behind the colonnade on the south entrance. So we had a horrific hard driving rain that ran all day from the south, and it overwhelmed the one that was partially open, and we started to get some, and they weren't even on that building yet, and maintenance got a call. So we went up there, we got the foreman and everything, and we were looking at the water, and it was slowly draining, and that's when we got the plumber, and we put the scope down there. They weren't even on that side of the building yet. That's how we knew it wasn't them. But what happened was they found a little bit of leaking here and there, a little bit of leaking here and there, and they didn't quite figure it out or put two and two together. And that we had an unusually hard driving south rain that day that lasted all day and just overwhelmed that one drain that was draining just enough. And when we stuck the probes down there, that's when they found the concrete in it. But like I said, they weren't even on that side of the building. And then they talked to the security guys that were in there. They said, yeah, there's been that off and on, a little bit of leaking here and there, which they didn't have that hard driving rain before. They said, yeah, you know, once in a while they get a little puddle. So it had been happening over, at least since they've been there, they said at least 2 to 3 years. So between the two, they weren't on that side of the building yet, and the security that was right in the entrance there telling us that, yeah, they were getting that little bit of leaking here and there for the last 2 years. We knew it wasn't them.
Anything else? If not, thank you. Let's move on to highways.
First resolution, and just do we do it to go through? Do we do that now?
Yes.
Okay. Before you, you have a sole source resolution, which basically anything over $25,000 has to be approved by the county board. And of course, before we get to the board, we have to get past public works. So we are at this time looking for a vote on the sole source. It will allow us to purchase the exact same security system and gates that we have incorporated at the parking lot structure and adjacent parking lot. So this will allow us to use the same hardware and software that's already in place just on the other side of 10th Street.
Okay, this is fairly simple and clear. We have a motion.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why exactly, I mean, I don't see, it seems to me that seeing as this is the only authorized vendor for this particular hardware, software, game production, it's kind of unusual that asking for a sole source of gate. Why is it so important to have the same software and hardware?
Well, I'm glad you'd have to have two different kind of computers set up, different systems. Every time there's a new employee that comes on board, you would actually have to enter that badge and the code into two different things. If they're going to be parking at there or could be parking at the other one, they'll actually have to issue them two badges or have two fobs or whatever they are, so that if they're parking and being able to be parked in both lots, so they'd have to carry around two IDs or two fobs, or we'd be generating that many IDs and fobs and have to enter and, you know, cancel and we maintain the system.
Thank
you. Yeah, and the reason why I didn't jump up and make a motion to approve this, because it, unless, and I could be overlooking something, but it's telling me that we're authorized, you need our approval to exceed $25,000, but it doesn't give us the total cost of this project. What's the total cost of the project?
The gates, the computer system, they're towers where you wipe your badge and all that is $59,200-something.
Yeah, the capital budget is for $60,000 for this project, and the quote we got when we did the budget was about $59,000. Then when we went out for bids, we asked some other people, and the other suppliers said, we can't do this. You have to use, if you want to only have one software system, you got to use the guys who put in the existing software system. So that's why we're sole sourcing it.
That's within budget.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll move to approve.
Second. Move a second to approve the resolution for the gates.
Who seconded?
Doug Olden.
Quick question, Mr. Chairman. Jim, was this in the budget then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything that we would do this year would have been in the budget that we passed. We can't create new spending that we didn't put in for 2014.
Unless we shift money.
But it would have had a bill of budget. So any resolution comes before you this year, it's going to, unless we did go from the general fund, it's going to have a bill of budget. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? You the governor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Now we'll go on the highway.
I have a resolution before you tonight authorizing the submission of a Wisconsin Department of Transportation Facilities for Economic Assistance grant application. The reason this resolution is here tonight is that the Wisconsin Department of Transportation requires a resolution attached to the application. It's a little bit unusual, but they basically want the county board to agree and authorize the county highway commissioner to submit this application. So if in fact the resolution was approved, you would also be authorizing me to sign the application. A T grant, which we refer to these as T grants, is something that we use typically on larger development projects. We used a T grant was used to do the improvements on Highway Q adjacent to the U Line project. A T grant was used to do the improvements on Highway N adjacent to the Gordon Foods project, and they're used throughout the state on these larger developments to assist the municipality in completing the necessary improvements on the highway, or it could possibly be other infrastructure improvements such as sewer and water, although in this case it's strictly highway improvements. As part of the process of getting a development approved in any community, a traffic impact analysis is required for that project. And what the traffic impact analysis does is it determines what improvements need to be done on the adjacent and surrounding road system to accommodate all the additional traffic that's going to be generated by the business. That traffic typically consists of employees and any type of trucking. So as part of the project that is, I guess everybody knows now, is the Amazon Fulfillment Center located out on the East Frontage Road between Highway S and Highway N, which actually is owned and being built by a firm called the KTR Capital Partners. And that they are the actual owners and developers. They're building the building, and they have
some sort of business relationship with Amazon that I'm not aware of, but obviously they are partners with Amazon to construct all of the facilities associated with the fulfillment center, and they are actually the owners. The traffic impact analysis was completed. There's significant improvements necessary on Highway N, Highway S, and the East Frontage Road, all adjacent to the property. And all of those improvements are being completed by KTR and at their cost. The traffic impact analysis also determined that there would be some improvements necessary on the 142 off-ramp, and there would be improvements necessary on Highway S between Highway N and Highway H, which is located well east of the development site, but is the main highway to access the city of Kenosha and from the development site to the city of Kenosha and the whole surrounding area. Improvements on the I-94 ramp would be the responsibility of the State of Wisconsin Department of Transportation, and the improvements on Highway S from Highway N to Highway H is the responsibility of Kenosha County, since we have jurisdiction over that highway. The improvements on we've done a cost estimate for the improvements on Highway S, and that cost estimate is approximately $1.5 million. That involves the complete reconstruction of the intersection of Highway N and Highway S, and the expansion with additional lane on Highway H, or on Highway S between Highway N and Highway H. So it's basically a complete reconstruction of that segment of highway. Again, our estimated cost is $1.5 million. The T grant will provide 50% of the cost of that project to Kenosha County. Obviously that's the purpose of submitting the grant application. I think there's some important components of this that I would just like to go through to make sure that everybody's aware of what the resolution does. First of all, the resolution does not commit Kenosha County to any funds at this point in time. This is just an application for funding for a project. If in fact that the state of Wisconsin approves our application and approves the funding, the 50% funding, there would need to be a project agreement executed between Kenosha County and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And even then, the cost of the project, the county's portion of the project cost, needs to go through our budget process. So none of these improvements would be done until 2015, because they obviously we need to go through our own budget approval process. What we're doing right now is trying to get through the DOT process of getting some funding to assist the county and ultimately assist the business in locating at the specific site and mitigate any of the negative impacts it has to traffic.
So as I said, Kenosha County will be responsible for 50% of the cost of the improvements. The state of Wisconsin will fund 50% of the cost of the project. Kenosha County needs to sign a jobs guarantee with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. A little bit unusual. What that basically does is, as part of the development, and the reason why this is an economic assistance grant is that the state will give us this money provided a certain number of jobs are going to be created. And in this case, or in any case, the state puts a value on each one of those jobs. And the value that the state puts on a job in Kenosha County is $5,000. So the maximum grant amount that we can apply for is $1 million. You take $1 million, you divide it by $5,000 per job. Amazon needs to provide a minimum of 200 jobs. And that's what we are guaranteeing the state, that there will be 200 jobs created by Amazon, and there's a time period in for the next 7 years. So, like I say, it's a little bit of an unusual commitment that we are going to make, but it's part of the grant process. I don't think we're subjecting the public to a whole lot of risk, considering the amount of investment that Amazon is making on that site. Right now, they have indicated they're committing over $285 million in between land and building costs to that site. And you know, I think that's a pretty good indication of their level of commitment to the community here. They've been talking 1,000 jobs, 1,500 jobs. I mean, there's been a lot of different numbers that have been going through different the newspaper or wherever you might hear. I think the 200 number is so low compared to the apparent commitment that Amazon is making to the community that, I don't think that we are putting the public at risk by making that commitment. Then the other, the Kenosha County will administer and oversee the development of the transportation improvement project. Basically, that's just saying we'll provide the engineering, we'll do the bidding of the project, and we'll make sure that the improvement is done in accordance with any state, federal, or local regulations. So that's the resolution before you tonight. It also, because of the kind of unique commitments it's making, we felt it was appropriate to also take it to the Finance Committee this Thursday, and then it would be addressed at the County Board, or the first part of the County Board meeting on next Tuesday.
Gary, do you have an original here?
Yes.
Pass this? Any questions or discussion?
Move to approve.
Measure Noel.
Couple questions. Is that Amazon in a 5th district?
It's in the city of Kenosha. I don't know what I believe it is in a TIF district, but I couldn't say with 100% certainty.
Is it part of the TIF district?
It is not. That was our first
our first thing we tried was to get this project funded through the TIF, and it was not eligible because of the location of our project compared to the actual development site.
And who did the study that said that we need, the way I understood your conversation, it's going to be more or less four lanes to County Highway H and then back down to two, back down to the existing two lanes?
Yeah, we're actually going to build half of the highway. All of Highway S is scheduled to be reconstructed into a four-lane highway at some point in time. In fact, we have the section between 31 and H scheduled for 2018. This particular segment, which is west of H, is not scheduled, but it's in our long-range program to get reconstructed. What this project will do, will build half of the four-lane facility, it'll reconstruct so that when it is expanded into four lanes, we won't have to reconstruct. I guess what we're building will look similar. Doug, you're probably familiar with 39th Avenue between 93rd Street and Springbrook Road, where it's three lanes and there's curb and gutter on one side. It's going to look like that because we're just building half of the highway. But it's also similar to like Highway 165 between I-94 and the Des Plaines River, where they built half of the highway. They previously built half of the highway, and now, actually, in a couple of years, they're going to rebuild the other part. So yeah, so it's the investment that we're making is not going to go to waste. And we're going to have to do this improvement at some point in time anyways. It's just that it's our schedule's being accelerated because of the Amazon development.
Okay, then you also mentioned County Highway 10 needs some work, which is not talked about here. And it surprises me because I thought we redid County N for $1 million for Gordon Foods.
The section on Highway N that needs to be improved is adjacent to the actual Amazon development, and it only involves construction of their access. One of the main employee access points is going to be over on Highway N. All of those improvements are just associated with an access point, not a highway expansion there at that point.
All right. Those are my three questions.
Gary, just a quick one. And I understand why between N and H. But, you know, I live over there, and I'm wondering why not between N and 94? It's a longer stretch, so, but, you know, that I can see trucks trying to access 94. Do you think they're going to be heading into Kenosha?
Well, basically, what is going to happen is they're kind of splitting the traffic from the Amazon site. You know, the north side is S, south side is N. They're kind of splitting that traffic. Some will go down N, some will go down Highway S. Well, they're going to meet at that point at that. You know how N and S come together, and then that's where you combine all this traffic together at that point and head east. Okay. That's where they're estimating the congestion's going to occur.
So maybe some get routed down H to 158. Okay, thank you. And then is what we're constructing for this project tied into the long-range plans for the whole reconstruction?
Absolutely, okay. It is, yes.
Thank you.
Second by Supervisor Spolitsky. Any other discussion? Good governance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Good governance.
Aye.
So I have the original here. I'll pass.
You can keep it.
You can keep it.
I have a couple of reports to go through rather quickly. The first report I handed out earlier has some graphs and some red writing on it. Basically what this is a before and after winter surface condition report for the pavements on our county trunk highways. The before was done at the end of September last year, after we had completed our resurfacing program. The after condition was just completed last week. What we do is we go out and rate the surface condition of all of our highways by segments on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being the worst, 10 being the best condition. And anything that is rated a 5 or below is in need of resurfacing. It kind of depends on the roadway, but it could get different type of treatments, but basically a asphalt resurfacing on anything rated a 5 or below. Anything rated a 6 or a 7, we look at a preservation treatment, which we crack fill all of the existing cracks. So I personally went out and did all of the ratings last week. It was highly disappointing, to be honest with you. The damage was substantial based from last winter, and probably the most disappointing thing was that a lot of the roads that we resurfaced last year or the year before had significant cracks in them, something that typically just does not happen. And that I'm used to looking at these kind of things, so I see the higher rated pavements significantly lower after winter, and I see the area, the 6 and 7s, where the crack sealing is needed, significantly increased over the winter. The and then the roads in need of resurfacing significantly increased. I mean, the damage was substantial, and I tried to do a little comparison and try to put a value on it. For example, before winter, we needed 110 miles of road crack filled. Now we need 142. You put a dollar value on what that cost, and it's about an additional $110,000. For resurfacing, and this only, the cost is just the material cost, not the labor or equipment, because we always do that ourselves. So just the value of the additional material necessary to do the additional paving created by the winter is about $1,363,000 in additional asphalt paving that's required now versus prior to winter. So you're looking at, I mean, if you wanted to say it this way, you could. The total damage to our asphalt pavement caused by the winter is $1,474,000. So just kind of a snapshot. What am I doing about this? Several things. There is funding available through the Wisconsin Department of Transportation to address this type of pavement damage. So I've submitted requests for about $1.1 million in additional funding in 2015 just for resurfacing projects. And again, that will be addressed through our budget process, but I've not received word yet from the DOT as to whether that funding will become will be approved, but I'm pretty confident it will. So I am looking at trying to get us as much help as possible. The other handout I gave you is project you may or may not be familiar with, but it's been in our plan for a long time. That's the relocation of Highway F between Highway O and Highway KD. This project has been accelerated to some extent because of the additional purchase of property by the county in that area. Because of that, I was asked to apply for funding to reconstruct and relocate Highway F, as shown in red. We have received word that $3,163,796 of federal funds have been allocated to this project. So, again, it's another one of those projects that we're not committed to anything at this point. There's a project agreement needs to be executed, and it certainly needs to be budgeted for in the county budget. But that's an 80-20 split, and the details of that funding is on the second page. But that was interesting, and I think good news that, you know, over $3.1 million in federal funds is available to complete that project. So, again, more on that during our budget process coming up soon for 2015.
Gary, I know that these lines are hundreds of feet usually on these maps. And I know I've seen the actual line, but to the average person here, it would look like it's going to go right through the new building we just bought.
Yeah, yeah. This is just...
It's a real wide red line. Because I know it's going to be quite a bit to the south of that building.
Right, yeah. It's actually...
Because John doesn't want to move as quick.
No. I'm sorry. I should have... yeah, there's a... This was the original alignment from sewer pack years ago. Obviously we're not going to go through the building. There's going to be an S curve. It's actually going to get connected right to the end of where it's Pond Road ends, the north end of Pond Road.
Right.
That would be the exact alignment location. Yeah. Sorry, I should have fixed that before I handed
it. No, it's okay. No one noticed, but. I drive down there every morning, so.
Yeah.
So running on the north side of that pond, more or less.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's going to go through that, what looks like a lot with some inside too? Is that going to be a problem for us?
No. Okay. No.
My question really was, what's going to happen to the old County Highway F? Does that go to the village or what?
Yeah, that's always when we would be executing a jurisdictional transfer with the local community. I believe in this case it's part in the village of Twin Lakes and part in the town of Randall.
Yeah. Anything else, Gary?
That's all.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I just to clarify, I really wanted to just make sure you knew about the funding part of this, not the mapping part.
So. Yeah. No, that's great news, because those of us that have been here for a while, we've known this for years, and that's happening.
Just a quick comment.
Gary, because you guys just repaved the western half of Highway E, is that on your crack filling? Because I happened to drive down it the other day, and... unfortunately, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's still relatively level, but a lot of cracks, and just to preserve that new pavement. If it isn't on your list, you may want to add it.
It'll be on the list. I don't think it's going to get done this year because we have just so much. And typically we try to crack fill everything the second year after it's been paved. So next year would be on its normal cycle anyways.
Okay.
Yeah. Have the resolution or the appointment list?
Well,
Resolution.
Okay. So, resolution, I'm seeking authorization to apply for a stewardship grant. Even though it's called a stewardship grant, it's under that program. It's a parkland development. What we're asking to do is seek grant funding, which is 50-50, to put in the dam parking lot, as we're calling it now, up on KD. The road into KD Park, parking lot where the parking lot currently exists, and then a boat launch parking lot, a boat launch, a handicap fishing pier, and submerged diving platforms. Again, it is a 50-50 match, but when we do the construction, if there is donated excavation, that all can come off of the county's match, and I think right now that's estimated about $170,000. So that would, we can't say it here, but in the actual paperwork, when we do that, that number would be reduced down to probably about 300.